Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever intently looks into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you, Scott. Good morning, church. It's great to be here together today. And to continue on and move forward through the book of James, continue looking at what James says. I mean, what a super practical book. Do you remember what we talked about last week? There's the test. What? Yeah, that's right. We should all be slow to speak, quick to listen. Actually, we got to switch that around, right? Remember, we memorized it together. We memorized this together. It's quick, slow, slow. So we want to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, I just kind of noted as I was thinking this through, there's a lot in this country that has happened in the past week that could cause people to be quick to speak or quick to get angry and not listen well. We've had a new president inaugurated, a whole bunch of executive orders, a whole new set of directions. We're doing this now. We're not doing that anymore. We're doing. There's a lot going on. And I don't know about you. I'm interested in all that stuff. I kind of want to watch, see what's happening and learn. And some things I'm like, man, that whatever. I get my opinions. You get your opinions. Your next door neighbor has opinions about these things. Your coworker has opinions about life in this country, life in their world, how it impacts them. Your brother or parents or siblings or cousins have opinions about those things. And this is a really good time to apply the verse we learned last week. To listen. To be quick to listen. And to just put that whole other thing in check. Just maybe be slow to speak. Just maybe not get angry about, I didn't like something, I'm going to get like, well, let's just put that in check for a minute, and let's listen well to one another. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason that those are good admonitions for us, because we have, beyond whatever we see happening around us in the environment, we have this really clear instruction for us that Jesus gave us. He called it the second greatest commandment, which says that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves. We should love our neighbor. And it may not be the most loving thing for my neighbor for me to get all mad and tell him what I think. It might be more loving for me to take a gentler approach, to listen and express my trust in God, the King of the universe. Amen? And to just say, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to hear what's important to you. Let's talk about life together. We got to make sure we love our neighbor. So it's a really good instruction at a super, super practical level. But we also learned there's more than a super practical reason for that instruction. There's a context that James gave that to us in. Do you remember that? That when I practice being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry, it does something in my heart. It reveals things in my heart. It actually helps me in my heart. Remember that how we want to allow the Word of God to be planted in our heart and grow fruit. It helps me pull out the rocks that are there and prepare that field and do the work that will help God's Word grow and build a harvest for me. And those are some practical things I can do to help my heart engage with what God's doing in a different way. And so we want to be focused on that and remember these instructions and the value that they have for us. Hearing God's word to be planted in our heart is the goal. Remember that? He explained it last week. Like, the whole reason we put our mouth in check is so we can hear the word of God. His word can plant in our heart and grow into harvest. But now I'm at a point in James where I could go, okay, this is great. I'm going to work hard at those things, and then I'll be ready to hear God's word. Yay, I'm growing in Christ. And James says, yeah. I mean, this is James, right? Full of admonition. James, like, not so fast. Because if you just hear the word and don't do anything about it, you're self-deceived. Like, that's just how you get ready to hear the word of God. If all you do is hear it and you don't put it into practice, man, you are merely deceiving yourself. Scott read our passage, but it's fairly short. I want the word to wash through us today. I want to read it again. Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed in all they do. So he wants us to know that we're deceiving ourselves if we're not doing what God's word says. I thought of it this way. Like, if I were to, I have become much more sedentary in the last 6 months than I used to be. Gained a little weight. I need to get active. I need to get exercising. So I'm going to pull up some YouTube videos of people exercising and watch them. Do those exercises. I see these ones where there's like a guy older than me going, if you just do this thing in a chair, you know, these exercises every day, you're going to be ripped like me. And I'm like, that's cool. Oh, but that works. That's really neat. And then I flip to the next video. Do you remember a few years ago, they came out with a product, a workout product called the mirror? Do you remember the mirror? It's actually a big giant mirror. You mount it on your wall, and it's a mirror and a computer screen. So the guy on the screen is doing an exercise, and you're supposed to, like, whatever, mimic what he's doing. You just do in the mirror what he's actually doing. And I pictured myself sitting in my comfortable chair with a bag of chips and a Diet Coke, watching the guy do the thing, wondering how long this is going to take for me to get in shape. That's kind of what it's like for us. As stupid as that is, I think we do that. We open the Word, or we come to church, or we hear, or we listen to something on the radio, or we watch a video. We hear the Word of God, and we just move on to the next thing. And we didn't do it in anything about it. We didn't put it into practice. And we didn't change. I've done that many, many, many times. Anybody else? Am I the only one? We hear God's word. All right, that sounds really cool. I bet that would be really effective. And I just move on. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone looking at his face in the mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he's like. So I got a mirror with me this morning. You know, I can see myself, you know, you can see in the mirror. And I look in this mirror and I'm like, I see this older man than I think I am, with a lot more gray than I think I should have. And I can see some sunspots, and I can see probably more hair in my nose and ears than on top of my head some days. And I'm like, I got to do something about that. I need to address that. I need to change. Because mirrors don't lie. They just tell you the truth about what's there. They just reveal. They don't shade or make anything look better than it is. And the mirror is important because if I don't, then I just have my impression of what I think I am. I have my own impression of what I think I look like. And I might just kind of reinforce something. I might not have an accurate response. I think about if there's one church down the road, and every Sunday they sing the Jesus loves me, oh, he loves me so much songs, and that's all they sing. And then another church down the road that sings the Onward Christian Soldiers militant songs, and that's all they sing. Both of those churches are missing something. They're not going to be who God wants them to be. They're not seeing the whole picture. They're not seeing themselves accurately, and we can do that too. We can just like pull up the verse that encourages me today or curate God's word to reinforce what's important to me, but I might miss what's important to God. That's why the whole counsel of God is important. It's why we preach through books of the Bible, so that I'm not picking like which passage would be cool to preach this week. I would love to do that. In some ways it would be easy. Is it like, this is what's important to me. But you don't need what's important to me. You need what's important to God. And so we go through whole books of the Bible. And when we do that, we actually see the worst of humanity. Have you ever read through the whole Bible? If you read through the whole Bible, there's some really bad things in there. And you see the worst of humanity. You're like, you've got to be kidding me. But also, when you read through the whole Bible, you see the best of humanity because you see what God wanted us to be. You see what God is calling us to be. We see that whole picture, and when we look in there, we can see ourselves more accurately to see what we ought to become. It makes a difference when we look into the mirror of the Word of God. When I see something that shouldn't be in my life, some sin, I confess it to God right away. We're taught, if you don't see your sin, you're self-deceived. I mean, 1 John says that. Anyone who says he doesn't have sin, buddy, really? It's there. And God's word shows us like what we need, but it also shows me what I can be in Christ, what God made me to be, what he's calling me to be. So there's this phrase in here, as he says, we look, whoever looks intently, verse 25, whoever looks intently into the perfect law, well, I'm looking at the wrong verse, give me a second. It uses this phrase, there you go, it's like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. I looked at that in some different translations. In the ESV, I'm in the NIV, by the way. In the ESV, it says, who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. But when I looked at it in the original language, this was a real trip. And none of the English translations catch this. It says, it's like someone who looks at the face of his genesis in a mirror. That sounds kind of cool. Whoever, someone looks intently into the Word of God, sees the face of his Genesis. I think one reason it doesn't come through in the English translations is nobody really exactly knows what that means. But as I thought about it, I think I could take a stab at it. I think what it might mean or what it could be surfacing is when we look intently into the Word of God, we don't just see like, oh, here's a sin you should confess. Yep, we see it. We should do that. But it goes deeper than that. And I actually see the face of my Genesis. Like, I actually see this is how God created me to be. This is what God was aiming at when he made me, when he made you. This was God's hope, his intent for us. Yep, sin messed that stuff up real quick. So we fall short of the glory of God. But when God created you and I, he created us in his image. There's something glorious and beautiful inside that God is intending to recapture in Christ and call us back to. And call us back to expressing and understanding and living out who God aimed at when he created you. When we look into the Word of God, we see that too. We don't just see, the Bible's not just condemning. Here's the sins you have, you should confess it. it goes deeper than that to go, God actually knows you, and he knows who he was aiming at when he made you, who he wants you to be, who Christ has come to redeem you to be, who you can cooperate with God's Holy Spirit to become this person. That person is in the Word of God. And when we look intently in there, we see that person. We see how you look. We see how God sees you and what he calls you to be. That's really cool. And so when we see that and we take action to become more like that, to move in that direction, then we're blessed. Then we're blessed. You're not just blessed because you did something nice. We're blessed because we're moving toward who we are in Christ. We're blessed when we do what God's word says. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they heard but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. He tells us two ways we should be looking into the word of God to get toward a blessed life that's becoming more who God wants us to be. Two different things we should do. The first one, it requires action. It requires action. I'll get to it in just a second. It just requires some action. We can't expect to become who God wants us to be passively. We can't expect to be who God wants us to be by just showing up for church or trying to avoid a certain sin. It requires some consistent action. And he describes what that is. The first is intent. We look intently into the Word of God. We have to be intentional. We have to work hard at learning God's Word. I don't know what your experience has been like in the Word of God. Some people say, it's too hard. I don't like to read that much. It's too hard to understand. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's Word is understandable. You can do this. You can work hard. You can be intentional to learning and understanding the Bible. So I want to just say, sometimes, I've just heard a lot of people say, I was working at it. I was trying, and I came across this verse or this thing or this story or idea, and it was so confusing or so disturbing, I just quit. And I just want to tell you what I do when I run into that. Because I'll read the Bible and there are verses in there I don't understand. There's more than one. Like, I have no idea what that means, honestly. I don't know what it means. And sometimes I could stop and I could research and study. I don't want to stop and I don't want to research and study. I don't have time, or I just might. Like, I don't get this and I don't really want to have to try to get this verse or this phrase that's confusing. So I want to let you know what I do to keep my momentum. Sometimes I'll just look back and I remember whatever that piece is that's confusing is in a context. So I'm like, what do the verses around it say? Or better, what's the paragraph say that confusing verse is a part of? What's the paragraph actually say? Oh, the paragraph's talking about this and moving us in a certain direction. I can get that. I can do that. I don't have to understand this phrase or this weird word I've never seen or this thing. I can still understand the basic idea. If that doesn't work, I'll move it farther and look at a whole chapter or even the book. Like, what's this author saying as he writes this book? What's the point? I can do that. I don't have to get stuck. That helps me a lot. When I zoom in too tight, I get confused sometimes, so I just zoom out. Oh, I see where he's going with this. I still don't know what that verse means. That's okay. God knows it. He probably knew what he meant. The audience that he wrote to probably did. I don't get it. I don't have to. So you can do that, and you can let it go when you run into something that's a bump in the road. Just slow down, take the speed bump, and keep going, and you'll be fine. We want to look intently into the Word of God without stumbling over something we don't understand. And the other piece is to look continually into the Word of God. If someone gave you a gift card for life to the best restaurant in Minneapolis. And you got to redeem it once a week. So once a week, you could go in and eat a meal at the best restaurant. I mean, amazing meal, glorious meal, like the best food you've ever had. Would that be the only meal you would eat all week? Probably not, unless it was like a really extended all-you-can-eat thing. You'd probably still eat on Monday and Tuesday. Like, you'd go, well, I need food, and then I get this really great food. Sometimes we get this impression when we talk about feeding ourselves on the Word of God. A lot of people are content with one meal a week or a couple meals a month. Whatever that is, whether that's coming to church or whether that's watching something, or we are famished. We tend to be pretty starved the way that we live. We don't tend to consume God's word every day, and I just say that to help us realize, oh man, I need like a daily diet plan on God's word. I should be continually looking into the Word of God. Because if I only look into it once in a while, then I'm more tempted to do this thing where I see myself in the mirror and I just walk away. I've got to look continually and keep seeing so that I can keep learning where God is pointing me. There are a lot of ways you can do it. Showing up for church, hearing a sermon, that can be helpful. Going to Sunday school and hearing that can be really helpful and more interactive. Join a community group. We have community groups that discuss, some of them discuss the sermon notes, and some of them may discuss other things, but you're there with other people going through the Word of God together. Or a DNA group with a smaller group to go deeper in the Word of God. And on your own, too, make a habit of opening your Bible. Read it or listen to it. A lot of people are like, yeah, but I don't really read. That's all right. I don't care. You don't have to read to have the Word of God. You can listen. There's Bible on audio all over the place. There's a free app called the Streetlights Bible. It's got a little beat behind there. It's kind of an urban reading of the NLT. I like it. They don't have all the books of the Bible in there yet. It's new. But there's no cost to it. You just put it on. I listened to 1 Corinthians on a long drive, the whole book. I'm like, man, this is cool. This is great. And I didn't have to read or put time in my schedule. I was driving, and I got the whole book of 1 Corinthians. You can do that. Make a way for God's word to be pouring into your heart and into your soul. And if you can do it with other people, it's even better. We're going to look intently in the Word of God and look continually in the Word of God. And then we have to apply what we need, what we read. Like Nike said, just do it. Just do it. Jesus talked about this with his disciples in the book of Luke, chapter 6. A couple verses out of Luke, chapter 6, he said to his disciples, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? For anyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood came and the torrent struck that house, but couldn't shake it because it was well built. But the one that hears my words and doesn't put them into practice, he's like a man to build his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." You know what? You can look around and find people who are kind of Christian in name, like by name, but not, like they're not dug deep. And as something changes around them, a crisis comes into their life, or some shift, they fall down. Or they cry out, "I don't understand," you know, and they go into a crisis mode. If you want to have that strength and stability to be the person God wants you to be, who's deeply rooted, it requires not just hearing God's word a lot, but doing what it says. Put it in practice. I don't know what God is going to be saying to you in this moment, but whatever he is, do it. Put it into practice. You don't need more information. Just take a step. Take a step. Let God speak to you from his word and do what it says. We need to look regularly into the word of God. You know, we don't see ourselves accurately all the time. If you think about it, sometimes technology reflects humanity. If you think about your cell phone, a cell phone has basically two cameras on it. One is an outward-facing camera, right? So I can videotape you when you go into a rage or you're going to do something crazy or wild or weird or whatever. I can pull my camera out real quick and tape you and record you. Or if you're driving and you see someone swerving all around, have you ever done that? I've done that. I pull out my phone, I start recording because I don't have a dash cam. It probably makes me the dangerous person on the road, but because I'm going to catch someone doing something dumb and have it on video to show my friends. It's kind of an outward face, and the outward facing camera has usually a pretty good zoom. I can zoom right in on your faults if I want to and make a lot of them. But now when you look at the camera, there's also a self-facing camera, and that one doesn't zoom in to expose all the faults. It's actually different. Sometimes there's filters. Or you can use that camera through an app to filter. So I actually look pretty good. I can minimize my things. When I do a lot of Zoom calls from my home office, and there's a feature on there that I usually have on. I don't remember what it's called. Make me look better feature. And it kind of like, you know, just smooths things out. I look, you know, I can't imagine what people think when they see me in person for the first time. Like, whoa. That's not who I was on Zoom with. But when we have the self-facing, the self-evaluate, isn't that a reflection of our humanity? That self-facing, that look in the mirror, we want a filter there, man. I want some way to see myself better than I am and some way to see your faults when I want to. Wow. It's not the technology's fault. That is simply giving people what they want. But God's word is a different kind of mirror. It's accurate. It's helpful. It helps us to see ourselves and others the way God wants us to see ourselves and others, so that I can change and submit to Christ and I can love my neighbors more effectively. It is worth investing in the word of God. And when we do, do what it says. Get up out of that comfortable chair, and we got to do the things that God is calling us to do. I want to tell you one story about a friend of mine named Jed, who years ago, he was teaching this passage in a Sunday school class in North Iowa, where we lived before we moved up here. And he's teaching his class this, where James is like, man, You gotta do what it says. You can't just be here. You can't show up in Sunday school and go home. You have to do what it says. And all the people in the class were like, oh my goodness, we have to do what this says. We can't just go home. Like, we can't do that. They took it seriously. And then you know what they did? They rolled right into the next passage. You know what the next passage says? You know what? When you encounter orphans and widows, that's a big deal. You got to do something about it. And they're like, we can't go home without doing what this says. What? How are we going to do that? And so they banded together. They brought it before God. God, you're telling us to do something about orphans and widows. And we're not going to stop until we figure it out. And they started a ministry to orphans and widows. They started a ministry in that community that then later became, it grew into what is now the Caring Pregnancy Center of North Iowa. Serves 9 counties. And probably 40 years later, that ministry has saved hundreds of lives. That ministry has loved thousands of women in difficult situations, and that ministry has gently and kindly met their needs while sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and led a whole bunch of people to the Lord. Because there was a Sunday school class that read this verse and said, we can't go home. We can't walk away and forget who we are. We can't walk away and not reckon with our calling. And I wonder today, just right here in Antioch Community Church, I don't know what ministry is going to be here in 40 years. But I know that God is saying there's some things that we have to do. I don't even know what that is. But if we take his word seriously today, it gives room for God's word to be planted that will grow up into a harvest that you can't even imagine. And it's one of the reasons I'm excited about being with you, opening God's word, because I'm like, wow, what is God going to do? I think he's going to use this. If we go, okay, what's the next thing? What are we going to do? If, on the other hand, we go, well, that was nice. That was interesting. It was good. Enjoyed that. It was fun. Great. Good Sunday school class. Good discussion guide. Good discussion group, guys. Good sermon. And we just kind of go about our day, and we don't do anything about it, then we're just going to be nothing. We're going to be useless. We're going to be a house on the sand, and we will get knocked down at some point. Something will change, and we won't stand. But man, the fruit, the kingdom fruit, when we do what it says, is going to be awesome if we make that choice. If God's word reveals a sin, confess it. If God's word shows you a need, meet the need. If God's word gives you a vision, start moving in that direction. Pursue it. If God's word reveals a neighbor to you, go love your neighbor. Do what it says. And let's see what God will do through the power of his Holy Spirit, through the power of his growing word, when we put it into practice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to just open your word and hear what you have to say, to be challenged this way, Lord, that we've got to put your word into practice. And I confess, Lord, I often hear your word and walk away and forget what I saw. I often read your word or hear your word. You show me something about myself, and frankly, I don't care. I very often just move on. Or I'll think, boy, I should do something about that, and not. That's not how we follow Jesus. Jesus was so clear, if you want to follow me, you do these things. Help me, Lord, to be more responsive to your Spirit. Help us as a church, Lord, just to be both individuals who respond. Put your word into practice and as a collective too. And we just pray, Lord, for your guidance. And look forward to your fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.